awesome. I think God's really going to use it in the days ahead. We're going to take it to Brazil and other places and here at CTK, but as soon as I get this going, we will. If I can figure out what I'm doing, it'll help. Here we go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This thing here. It's a little chart. It's called the Circle of His Presence. Believer's dwelling place. And here's Jesus, the I Am enthroned in a person's heart. Here's an individual. You have to see it either up there or there, but who's bowed down in surrender in a resting position. And on the throne is the I Am. Jesus says, I Am. And so He says, I am your power. I am your anointing. I'm your purity. I'm your strength. I'm your wisdom. I'm your joy. All those cool things. And then this is all in this inner part. But here are all these open doors. And there are things like complaining, resentment, selfishness, anger, lust, dishonesty, bitterness. And at any point, you can either, in that surrendered resting place, enjoy Jesus being all your all and all, or you can stand up and walk out of any of these doors and be outside the circle experiencing His presence. And here's the other side, returning. See these doors? The kind of those doors that are like split in half. And so here's some examples of those doors looking back from the outside. And so let's just say if it was pride, somebody senses there's no peace in their heart, which door did you walk out? Is it fear or is it pride? Well, that's the same door you got to go back through. But the difference is, to go back through, you got to get low. It's not enough just to say you're sorry. There's got to be a surrendered repentance. And you get low and go back in, and there you are again. Isn't that a cool thing? And we believe that God will do it more one day, and we're trusting and the Lord's going to use it. I'll make this part of the announcement now. I'll probably send something out in email too. Usually in June, well, it is late June, there are several offerings we do every year. One of them is Foundation Day. Foundation Day is that one where it's $10 per family member. And the money goes to help build churches, to help buy property, build buildings. We benefited when we built this. I think we got like $5,000. That's usually the worst time in the world for us to take up offerings because it's the weekend before 4th of July and people are gone. And so we do it over a period of time. And the result of that is I usually end up forgetting. But we announced it, but I think I left town to Kansas City to do a few other things. Rosemary, who helps remind me, was out of the country. And so I remembered today this offering. So I do not want to go. I want actually something sent before I go to the House of Bishops on the 12th of October. So I'm going to put an email out. If you would please bring your Foundation Day offering so that we can actually send them something so that I don't want to be, if I'm going to be the object of discussion, I'd rather it be something more important than that. And even if I'm in trouble, I'd rather be in trouble about something more important than that. So I hope I'm a decent teacher. I'm a horrible administrator. Now, don't get nervous. We've got great administrators here, but anything left to me is not a good thing. And so finally, I think I've learned my lesson. I'm going to punt these offerings to somebody else and say, now, it's your job to remind, it's your job to announce, and it's your job to send it. So I'm no longer trusted with it. You know, one of the great things you can do in wisdom is stop trusting yourself in areas that you know you shouldn't be trusted in. So let me just make this announcement to those of you here. I'll make it. And then if not enough comes in, I'll probably sell drugs over the weekend. But I'm a desperate man to get out of trouble. Alrighty. Well, Father, thank You for the fact that we live every day of our lives in Christ. I pray that You would just teach us by just showing us, Lord, your ways that exist, the truth, Lord, that sets us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to, again, I'm suspending Moses until I get back from the whole Brazilian House of Bishops thing. And because we leave Monday and I'll miss two Wednesdays in a row, and then when I get home on a Friday, I leave Sunday afternoon, so I miss a third Wednesday in a row, and then we'll pick it up and we'll go for it from there. But we're not in any hurry. We're going to be here for a while together. So I just want to reinforce some things that Lord just been reinforcing in me, and just trust it'll be an encouragement to you. It's really at the heart of who we are as a church, and has always been, and who we will always be. And I've been seeking the Lord a lot in the last few days, and God just been really ministering to me. So it's been really awesome, encouraging. So my prayer is that it'll be the same thing for you. I don't think that we're going to say anything new, but I do hope that we'll say some things that are new. And because it's not nearly as important to me that you hear truth, information doesn't change anybody's life unless it is truth. But truth has to be acted on. It has to be believed. We have to lay hold of truth by faith. And so one of the things that's powerful is the understanding as a Christian, and I won't do this to you, but I put out a thing on the day's devotional, if you've already read it, that if I were to stand in front of a large crowd, if I do this in Brazil, and I say, how many of you are contending for victory in some area in your life spiritually? Everybody in the group will raise their hand because they don't want to look like they don't care about holiness and stuff like that. But the truth is that we're called to stand in victory. We start with victory. The moment you become a Christian, that's true about you, that Jesus' victory over sin is yours. It's already happened. He's already, you died in Him to those besetting sins in your life. The victory is yours. It's already there. You start that way. And so we fight the good fight of faith from a place of victory, not for victory. There's a big difference. That's not really all that we're talking about tonight. But there's a place in 1 John chapter 5 that says, even our faith, how does it go, Father Craig? That overcomes the world? You don't know either? I thought you would know, Father Craig. You're like a walking concordance. I want to say it right. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So it's not that faith, again, makes something happen or makes something exist. It simply appropriates something. And so truth has to be mixed with faith. So it's not nearly as important to me tonight that you hear the truth, but that you lay hold of it by faith. Because faith, truth can't set you free unless you lay hold of it in faith. You with me? And that's really the whole point of what I'm going to talk about tonight. I want you to see some things that are true, that you can't make true, but you can experience the truth by faith. Alrighty? In Ephesians chapter 1, and again, these are familiar scriptures, but I want to kind of hear it again in a fresh way. God, give us fresh ears to hear what you want to say. In verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 1, now this is what we're after. This is what we're after when we go to Brazil on Monday, what we want to see happen among them. This is what we're after here. And I'm not going to use the word revival because what I'm going to say to you, that's what this is. Because we're after a perpetual, TC got a word today about perpetual things. We're about a perpetual experience of the fullness of Christ. Victoriously reigning in us and victoriously being released through us in terms of its impact on other people's lives. So hear this word. And Father put all things in subjection under His feet. Well, that's a different story. But I want to stop there, but I'm not going to. And He gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body. So that's me and you. Which is the fullness of Him who fills all and in all. So what the church is supposed to look like and experience and release people are supposed to encounter is the fullness of Jesus. And that's everything that Jesus is in us and everything that Jesus does through us, supernaturally, in us and through us. His victorious life experienced in us, His victorious life released through us. Okay? So that's what we're after. We're after the fullness of Him, the fullness of Jesus. We don't want to settle for anything less than experiencing that. Amen? You got to talk back. I'll just keep repeating myself. Okay? Okay. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, it's reiterated. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Until, here's the goal, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, experiential knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature Christian. Here's what maturity looks like. To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So we're all going after maturity, right? We're going after maturity, and what maturity looks like is the fullness of Christ. So this is what we're headed for. This is what we're going after. This is what we're contending for. And if it's a maturing process, you can know the fullness of Christ now, and yet know more and more as time goes by, as you become more and more aware, and you have more and more insight into how much that fullness involves. Okay? I've used this example before. I wish I'd have brought one with me. But like if you get a balloon, and you blow into it 10 times, it's full. But if you blow in it more, you discover it has a capacity to be even more full. More capacity until it reaches total maturity. It can't experience any more fullness. It was full after 5 breaths, but it's now 50 breaths or 150 breaths. It's even experiencing more fullness. And so, we walk in fullness today, we grow in fullness tomorrow, and for the rest of our time on earth is a maturity. We want to experience the mature fullness. We want it all. Amen? We want to experience it all. Just like in Selma, I pray every day here if you come to Eucharist, Lord, I thank You for the Selma revival. We call it forth to full maturity. We're not content with where it is. We thank You that it's there, but we want everything You promised. Amen? Fullness. So we're going after, and it's a lifetime quest of walking in fullness every day that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen? The fullness of Jesus Christ. Now that sounds like an exciting life to me. I don't know about you. But if I could just live one day with as much capacity as I can contain right now in my experience, walking it out, the fullness of Jesus, it would be an extraordinarily abundant life and life more abundant day. Amen? That's God's will for every one of you. God would never say something, this is His will, and this is what we're shooting for, if there's something about you that can't get there. In other words, if there's some broken thing in you, some bent place in you, some cracked up place in you that it's impossible for you to get healed up so that you can never get there. God would never put that before you. That's cruel. So this is what He says we're shooting for. Then you and I must be capable of walking that out. As a matter of fact, you ever had a balloon and it's kind of, it's almost like there's, strictures, you know, it's like, but it's like stuck, but you got to blow in it, and if you blow enough, finally those little places that are like clung together, you know what I'm talking about? Kind of like if you've had surgery and they go back and they go, well, there's, what do they call that? Gosh, y'all don't know, help me, Father Craig, yes. This isn't even a Bible question. Adhesions. It's like there's adhesions in this that have to be open up. But you know how you fix it? Does inner healing, all those things help? Yeah, but you know how it ultimately gets fixed? By more fullness. Alrighty? So, let me just read these verses to you. This is Ephesians chapter 4, now verse 10. Now I'm going to give you some little cute Greek lessons, and I don't know why I'm doing this, because I'm not trying to impress you. I looked it up and read it just like you could. I took Greek, but I have to look it up and read it just like you can. I just know where to look it up. But it is the language that the Holy Spirit chose to for the New Testament to be written in. Everyday, common, it's called Koine Greek. It's like common, the common language of the everyday people. And so he picked that for a purpose. Because the Koine Greek has a lot of details. It's almost a mathematical language. And that's because God shares a lot of theology and ideas and concepts. Hebrew is more of a poetic language. It's kind of like a worship language. That's why the Psalms are so awesome. They kind of flow in poetry. Song of Solomon could never be written in Greek. You know, it would sound real wooden and stiff. So this is, I'm going to give you a couple of aorist tense. In our language, we have past, present, and future. In Koine Greek, there's perfect, pluperfect, imperfect, present, future, there are all these different tenses. And they carry an idea of things that the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Aorist tense doesn't just mean past, but some reaction in the past. I mean, it was some reaction. Completed. Verse 10. And he who descended is himself, Jesus, the one who came to earth, also is he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Now we're after fullness. And this scripture says, he ascended, he poured out his spirit so he could fill some reaction, past. That when you get filled, you're filled. All right? Colossians chapter 2. Same kind of tense. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in him, Jesus, all the fullness. Wow, that's a big statement. In Jesus, all the fullness. Right? See you with me? In Jesus, all the fullness. All in Greek means all. Okay? In him, all the fullness of deity is embodied. And in him, since you're in him, you have been made complete. Now, the word complete is translated in my New American Standard. The word there is the same word for fullness. For in him, all the fullness of deity is embodied. And in him, you have all the fullness. You've been made full. Past tense. Ephesians 4:10. Past tense. Who fills all. He ascended to fill all. Alrighty? And then Colossians 3:11. Verse 9. We'll start there. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. It's a renewal. Now, if you want to walk in renewal, revival, you know, is another word for that. Renewal in which there's no distinction between Greek or Jew or circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, male, female, doesn't matter. But Christ is all. And in all. But Christ is all. And in all. So the Christ who is all, if you're a Christian, is in all. Now, in him, all fullness dwells, is embodied in him, right? In him, all fullness is embodied. And you've been made full in him. So Christ is all. Christ carries the fullness of Christ. That makes sense, doesn't it? Nobody can be more like Joey than Joey. Joey's the Joeyest Joey there is, this particular one. And Jesus is Jesus. And he has everything about Jesus is in Jesus. So Jesus didn't like tap you on the shoulder and go, okay, you're a Christian. Go be like me. Get the Bible, memorize it, and do the best you can to be like me. To be holy, to be this. It's a greater salvation than that. He says, you're not only forgiven, but you're a new creation. And what makes you a new creation is I'm in all, and I'm in all to be your all. And that's fullness of Christ. You see, the fullness of Christ is in Christ who's in all. For you have died, it says in Colossians chapter 3. And your new life is hidden with Christ in God. Now in Christ, our life. What a great word. The heart of the new creation, this Colossians 3 passage, a renewal, here's the new creation. Christ is all, and He's in all. And so Jesus is your all in all. And all of Jesus is in you all. Now we're going after the fullness of Christ. That's what we're going after. To experience the fullness of Jesus and His victorious life, the Christ life, living in me victoriously and living through me victoriously. Now here's the thing I want you to get. You got the fullness. You already got it. You already got it. And how many Christians spend their life asking for it, begging for it? But you got it. If Christ is all means you can't get any more than Christ. For it's in Him all the fullness of deity is embodied. And because you're in Christ, Christ is in you. Because Christ is in you, then Christ is all. All that fullness of deity that's in Christ is in you, so you got it all. You got the fullness of Christ. Hear me again. This is the truth. Every one of you have got, right this minute, the fullness of Christ we're longing for, that we're reaching for. What we call revival, which is the fullness of Christ, is existing, deposited in you right now. This is a really simple word. But here's what I want you to see about being filled and being filled. The filled being filled. Now, this is a terrible analogy. You know, I'm going to give you an example. Terrible one. But I couldn't think of another one, so just forgive me. I asked the Lord, give me a better one than that one, Lord, but I can't think of another one, so bear with me. There's a movie, and I forget which one it is, but it's a John Wayne movie, which I've seen them all, and millions of times. I'm in that generation. And in this movie, Robert Mitchum's in the movie. They're like the co-stars. And I think James Caan, you know what I'm talking about? He's in the movie that kind of thing. And so they're big buddies, but John Wayne's I can't tell the whole story, it'll be ridiculous. The sheriff of this town is having big problems, was one of the fastest guns in the whole West, but he became an alcoholic because a girl broke his heart. Man, isn't that just a typical sad story? No, that kind of thing. John Wayne's been gone. And the last time he saw Robert Mitchum was normal. And he discovers when he gets back there that he's like a helpless drunk. Never sobers up. Been that way for 9 months. And so the James Caan figure, who's a young figure, have y'all seen this movie I'm talking about? I think it's, what's it called? I can't think of it. When they come back, this James Caan figure says, I know a way to sober somebody up real quick. So he makes up this stuff. It's got oil. It's got like glue in it and oil and gunpowder and mustard and all kinds of stuff. And he mixes it up and they get Robert Mitchum, who's just like passed out, and they open up his mouth and they hold his nose. So he has to, and then pour that whole thing down him. Now he's filled with it. You with me? And they asked the question, James Caan, so what's going to happen next? He said, we'll just wait and see. Now, he's full of that stuff. He's got it all. But it hasn't actually been activated yet. It's not like functioning yet. And what it was meant to do is to make you so sick that the smell of alcohol will make you sick again, so it keeps you from drinking. And so after a few minutes, he's laying there, Robert Mitchum, and then all of it, he just jumps up, and his stomach is churning. I mean, there's stuff just going on. He's getting filled with what he got filled with. And he starts getting mad. What have y'all done to me? Okay, I know it's a terrible story, but it kind of gives you an example. Because here's what I want you to hear is these other scriptures. You know, it's an interesting thing. Let me read this to you. This has got something to do about example. This is James chapter 1. This is what James chapter 1 says. Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What? I thought Colossians 2 said I've already been made complete. But it needs to be activated in your life. It needs to be, you know, it needs to be moving and functioning. Right? Okay? So here's what I want you to see, these scriptures. This is Ephesians 1:23 again. So let me just read this to you. Now, this is all preparing you for the 5-minute punchline, okay? So pay attention, already, because it's like a joke that may not be really good while you're telling it, but if you'll pay attention at the end, it's like hilarious. Which is His body, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him, who fills all and is in all. But this isn't aorist tense, who like filled y'all. This is present tense, who's filling you all even now. He's in you all. So if He's in you, you got it all, right? You're complete. But the Holy Spirit stirs it all up in us. He's filling you with what you've been filled with. All righty? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, real familiar. Do not get drunk. And the verbiage here is, this is present tense, continually. Don't be continually drunk. And it's passive voice. In other words, don't let yourself just be continually drunk. Don't let that happen. It's passive. It's happening to you. Don't embrace that. But he says this, for that is dissipation. But be continually, present tense, continually, perpetually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here's a neat thing. Because you'd think in the Greek language, the middle voice calls for action on your part. Do something. Do it continually. Or do it one time. But passive voice means you're passive. It's being done to you. Just embrace it. That's what this is. But embrace the fact that He's continually filling you. Someone outside of you, other than you, is filling you with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Alrighty? You can't get crucified. You are crucified. It says, in the death that He died to sin once, but the life He lived, He lives to God. Even so, reckon yourself dead to sin. The death that He died to sin once. You were crucified in Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, not the old man, the old self, not the former life that didn't have Jesus, that's a slave to sin, doing the best it can. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ is actively, right now, living inside of me. He's not just there. You with me? He's not just there, just hanging out. He's not just in all. He actively is your all. And constantly stirring that up, presenting it to you, making it available to you. Christ is hyper in you. He's not just sitting around. He's just living. You know, it says in John 15, abide in me and I'll abide in you. But let me give you some insight about that. How do you abide in Him? The word abide means to remain. Doesn't He say that scripture, for I am the vine and you are the branches? So, isn't that like already happening? I read somebody say, how do you abide in Jesus? Simply refuse to ignore the fact that you are. If you're a branch attached to the vine, the life of the vine is flowing into the branch. And all that you have to do is embrace it. It says in Ephesians 1:3, old passage, for you have, past tense, been blessed with every, now every means every, for you have been blessed, this is God's great favor on us, for you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's because in Christ. Well, of course that's true, right? You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the spiritual realm in Christ. Well, of course that's true, because Christ is all and He's in all. Therefore, He's your all in all, living right now. He is the fullness of Himself, living in you right now. And yet we spend so much of our time believing that He can instead of trusting that He is. If a branch had a will, it doesn't need to plead and to pray for the life of the vine. It simply acknowledges and rests that it's happening right now. Christ, who is all, is in you right now, living in fullness. And all you and I have to do, what's the every spiritual blessing that you need right now? Well, I'm having some issues with anger. Well, you know, the sin of anger is what the old man lived in. Well, you know, that self died. That's not who you are anymore. You can live like it by faith in the error. We all live by faith all the time, either in lies or truth. But you see, that old self that acted that way died. Now, you still have an old body that's not been redeemed, right? Right? So there's like this lost sin in your old body, and it tries to pull at you to live as if you were that old self that lived controlled by anger. That old self doesn't exist anymore. What happened at the cross wasn't just your justification, because your sins were laid on Him. Your self, the old self, the person you once were, was laid on Him. Not just justification, but extermination of the old man. Now, can you still walk in sin? Yes. But you're walking in a false reality if you do. Because that's not who you are anymore. Old man died. And now you're a new creation. And at the essence of the new creation is, there's one who's in me, who's my all in all. Who says He's my life. So when temptation comes or situations come or circumstance arises, I can stand and say, that's not who I am anymore. That person died. I'm a new creation. Christ is my life, and therefore He's my victory here. Right? I don't ask for it, because it already is. I just claim it. I receive it by faith into my experience. I thank Him for it. His grace is, not might be, could be, should be sufficient. It is right now. This verse we've been looking at, the gospel within the gospel, 2 Corinthians 9:8. For God is able to make all grace abound towards you, above and beyond, that's the word abound, that you always, present tense having, because it's operating in you right now, you always having all sufficiency in everything. Wow. For you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So whatever the everything is that you're facing, the spiritual blessing that you need to experience victory in that is operative in you. It's active. It's that thing you've been filled with is now moving. He's alive. He's not dormant. He's not asleep. He's active. He's living. Faith takes and says thank you. It doesn't beg and say thank you. Faith stops in the moment and goes, Christ is my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the grace of your patience right now. I have it. And what happens? Yeah. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The victory is already yours. The victorious one, the one who's always operating, moving, living, flowing in you right now. But faith is appropriating, lays hold of what is true. Not what could be true, not what you hope is true, but what is right now true about who you are in Christ. If Christ is all, all is a big word. I mean, what do you need? What is it you're facing? Well, he's all. You mean he's that? Oh, he's that. You mean he's my ability to forgive? Oh, yeah, he's that. He's your victory there. You see this little chart? So this thing. Right now, I am your patience. I'm your love. I'm your joy. I'm your rest and your peace, your inheritance, your healer, your identity, your strength, your compassion, your salvation, your truth. I'm your leader. Trust my leadership. I'm your anointing, your security, your power, your holiness, your acceptance. I'm your keeper. I'm your all-sufficiency, your purity, your counselor, your shield, your hope, your fullness, your righteousness, your wisdom. You facing a need for some wisdom? Instead of giving in to fear, his victory over the sin of fear was your victory over the sin of fear. That's the way the old man lived. That old man is dead. As the new man, Christ is your all. He's in all. He is your all. So in that moment in time, you can thank him for his victory and his wisdom. And when that happens, what is true becomes experience. And then as time goes by and your mind is renewed, you get more and more comfortable being the new creation, drawing from the one who's your all in all. Fullness experientially just expands towards maturity. But you don't have to wait 30 years to enjoy the fullness now. You just need to know there's always much more to be experienced. It's endless. Ephesians 3:8 says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Where does the unsearchable riches of Christ live? In you. Available to you freely. That's why it's called grace. Amen? Does it make sense at all? It's the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my life, other than that Jesus died on the cross for me. But then I thought, this is the most amazing thing I ever heard. He's just so thorough. It wasn't enough for him just to tap me, save, you're going to heaven one day. He wanted me to live in the heavenlies today on the way to heaven. By the fullness of him who is in all and continually filling you with the all that's in you all. So that it's just there, ready to go for it. Just take. Just lay hold by faith. And here's the deal. Don't wait to experience it to believe it. This is one of the things we're going to talk about a lot in the days and weeks and months to come. What is it that we stand on? What is it we lay hold on? The feel, oh, I get the feeling, now it's true. Or I have some encounter, now it's true. No. We stand on the truth. It's the truth that'll set you free. Freedom brings the feelings. It's the Word. We stand on the Word and the Word alone. Not on your experience, even your bad one. Not on your emotions, not on your feelings. We stand on the truth and the truth alone. Don't wait to walk in fullness thinking you've got to have some kind of crazy encounter. Encounters are awesome if God does stuff. Don't wait for some kind of massive thing to hit you over the head and knock you out on the floor, you hover over. You know? Don't let somebody else's story. Those are cool stories. You with me? God does what He has to do in our own person, but you don't wait for that to enter in, to begin. There's a process, but there's the crisis of beginning of a believing, trusting, appropriating fullness. What does that crisis look like? Your very next step. Laying hold of it because He says it's true. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. Always, always having all sufficiency for all, for everything. That's the truth. And you, by faith, contrary to anything you feel, if you get some massive experience, awesome. But you have to wait for that. You have to wait for that. You just accept it. Embrace it. And then start living it by faith. And all the feelings and all the cool stuff, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of your experience, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That'll come. It's fruit. Fruit is the last thing that happens on a healthy tree. You don't claim it to be an apple tree because it bears apples. It bears apples because you've claimed it to be an apple tree. You hear me? Fruit's the last thing that comes. So you don't wait for the joy to say you entered in. You enter in, then you'll experience the joy. Or the peace. Does that help? In our charismatic world, guys, I'm a bug-eyed, go-for-it charismatic. We cannot be lured into believing that you've got to have some experience to enter in. The crisis is a crisis of faith.
Amen.
And when you walk out of one of these doors, oh my gosh, I've lost that sense of His presence. Then what do? You walk back in the same door you walked out. And you just own it, confess it, and then you're back in again. Just believing, step by step. Christ as your all in all. All righty. 7